If you're overwhelmed with parenting, if you understand the purpose of parenting, it helps you face those days when you're struggling with a child that has autism or struggling with a learning disabled child or sibling rivalry or whatever it may be. When you realize the purpose is to bring glory to God, that does change how you're going to parent. Let's get real practical about being here in this work every day. You come in here on some days like I do, and you're exhausted and you're tired, and, oh, another day and I got problems. If we get our head straight at the beginning of saying, what's the purpose of work? It's to bring glory to God.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, the founder and president of the Intentional Living Center and your advocate for the family. Dr. Randy is continuing his series, Follow the Leader. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt. We've been in this series this week on picking leaders, leading ourselves. We're calling Follow the Leader. We're going to take you over to the teaching studio in a moment and begin part three. But just before we do, I want to remind you, if you have a comment that you'd like to share, how do you pick a leader in your life? What are characteristics of leadership that made a difference? Tell us about it. 888-888-1717. Press number 2. You can leave it on our storyline. Okay? I got a great half hour ahead, so let's get over to the teaching studio and begin. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Right at the end of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, in his old age, summarizing all that he wrote about in Song of Solomon, right about in the Proverbs, and now here in Ecclesiastes as an old man with this wisdom, he comes to the conclusion of this. He says, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. There's purpose right there. You want to know what purpose is? Why am I here? What's the purpose? According to God's Word, fear Him, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In the Westminster Shorter Catechism, I think this is a profound way of looking at meaning as well. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Man, listen, we're talking about the practical things here at Intentional Living. We talk about, why is my marriage a mess? Why am I discouraged in my work? Why are my kids driving me nuts and I wish they would just leave? Right? How come I can't get along with my, you know, my in-laws? Or why am I wrestling with my adult children? We can get so caught up in the problems, because life is just, we're going into a problem, coming out of a problem, or waiting for a problem to start, right? That's just the way life is. If we realize that the chief end or the chief purpose of man is to glorify God and enjoy His presence forever, that helps us face that challenge. It changes the perspective, see? It allows us to face that with the reality that, it, as Rick Warren said in Purpose-Driven Life, it's not about me. And when we approach everything, it's about me and what I do and what I have to do. Because I wrestle with this, so I'm preaching on my own struggles here. Because you think you have to fix it. You know, without you, the world's going to kind of come to a, going to blow up or something, you know. Which isn't reality, of course. We think about purpose. I think so often we wrestle because we don't know our place and our purpose. And so I think part of anxiety comes when we just don't know what our purpose is. And I have this little tool I have up on my desk upstairs as a reminder of purpose. Most of you probably don't know what this is. Some of you do. It's a little pipe cutter. It's used to cut copper pipes that go in your home. You put it on there and you turn it and tighten it up and it'll cut the pipe. Now, it's a beautiful thing when it's used for purpose. But this is not going to be a good tool when you need to drive some nails or pull some nails. It's not going to be used when you need to lay concrete. It's not going to be the right tool that you're going to use when you're trying to put a new roof on your house. See, those are different tools. And I think sometimes what we do as human beings is we don't understand what our purpose is. I wrestle with that. We try to seek our purpose in terms of, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? And what is my work supposed to be? You know, who am I supposed to marry? And we have all those kinds of questions. But the bigger question of, what is the purpose of man? And I think this is where we wrestle. The purpose of man is to bring glory to God. Boy, that rubs us wrong, doesn't it? There's a level where as followers of Christ, that really rubs us wrong. Because we are taught in our Christian culture today that God is here for my benefit. That's what we're taught. God is here to make me feel good, to meet my needs, and to solve my problems. And that is not what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches that we are here to bring Him glory. And that doesn't feel right. And I think that's part of why people will come into Christian experience, and once they find out at the deeper level, this isn't about me. This is about Him. This is about God. This is about knowing my place, my purpose to serve Him, and I'm out of here because that's not what I want God to do for me. And so, if we become aware of God's purpose, listen, let's get really practical. If you're wrestling in your marriage, and I know there's two sides, and I know all the problems in marriage, been through that in counseling over 30 years of working with couples, so I know that there's major issues. But when two people in a marriage before God know what the purpose of marriage is, that's going to change everything that happens in that marriage. All of a sudden, marriage counseling becomes a piece of cake when two people come before you and say, we are both believers, we know the purpose of marriage is to bring glory to God, would you help us figure out how to do that? Hello. That's not what people do. People come in and say, he's not making me happy, she's not making me happy, they're not meeting my needs, they baited and switched, or whatever it may be, and all of a sudden we miss what the purpose of marriage is. Now, please understand, I understand that marriages fail, and I understand there are reasons for that. But again, those of you who've been through it, you know it's as a result of sin, and you know it's a result of people not seeing what the purpose of marriage is and living by it. The same thing is true in parenting.
Dr. Randy will be back in a moment to conclude today's teaching, Follow the Leader.
My name is Kathleen from Albuquerque, and how we're living intentionally is we're doing a marriage Bible study. We get together and pray for each other, encourage each other in God's Word.
Yes, my name is Randy Payne, and I'm living intentionally by switching all my radios from secular country music to Christian radio.
God has an intentional plan for you. Dr. Randy and the Intentional Living Center are here to help you discover it and live it. This year, as you've engaged with the ministry through the radio program, teaching resources, conferences, and more, you've experienced a ministry God is using to strengthen marriages and families all around the world. We're facing the end of the year with a significant financial hill to climb to keep the ministry strong. But the good news is, right now, your year-end investment to intentional living is being matched dollar for dollar. Make a difference in the lives of others and help Intentional Living finish the year strong. Go to theintentionallife.com or call 888-888-1717 to help Intentional Living meet our financial need and continue to make a difference for your family and for others as well. That's theintentionallife.com or call 888-888-1717.
Share your voice, your story, your passionate perspective with the staff at Intentional Living. Just call 888-888-1717. We really want to know your ideas for future programs. Or we'd love to hear your story because you might encourage other listeners. And we'd love to hear about the issues you're facing that Dr. Carlson can help with. So tell us what's on your heart today. Call 888-888-1717 and talk to us at Intentional Living.
This is Monica from California. I'm calling to let you know my intentional living. I choose to love Christ, trust in Jesus, continue to go to that place to love and ask for love for my husband. I ask God for everything about my husband. I don't have to go to my husband as much. I ask God for everything and He gives it to me. I've done it since 92, and it's been a blessing. It's not been easy, but God has had His hand on us, and that's the best part about it. Intentional living, that's us now.
Now let's get back to Dr. Randy at the Intentional Living Teaching Studio as he continues his teaching, Follow the Leader.
people come in and say, he's not making me happy, she's not making me happy, they're not meeting my needs, they baited and switched, or whatever it may be, and all of a sudden we miss what the purpose of marriage is. Now, please understand, I understand that marriages fail, and I understand there are reasons for that. But again, those of you who have been through it, you know it's as a result of sin. You know it's a result of people not seeing what the purpose of marriage is and living by it. The same thing is true in parenting. If you're overwhelmed with parenting, if you understand the purpose of parenting, it helps you face those days when you're struggling with a child that has autism or struggling with a learning disabled child or sibling rivalry or whatever it may be. When you realize the purpose is to bring glory to God, that does change how you're going to parent, isn't it? Let's get real practical about being here in this work every day. You come in here on some days like I do, and you're exhausted and you're tired, you know, another day and I got problems. And if we get our head straight at the beginning of saying, what's the purpose of work? It's to bring glory to God. The scripture even says that. Paul tells us, you're not working on demand. You're not here working for me. I mean, we got structure and order and all that. We got different departments. But at the end of the day, really, in many ways, you're working for yourself. You're making a decision of how you're going to live this day. You're going to make a decision about obedience or about purpose, about your passion. All of these things are a decision that you're going to make, and I make every day. So I'm preaching to myself today about this thing of purpose, and I think it's hard for us to wrap our minds around purpose because in our culture today, we look at purpose in terms of what brings me pleasure. See? If I'm doing what I really enjoy or I'm really happy, then that must be my purpose. But I don't think that's biblical. Because I think the Bible's teaching us, and we see it in Scripture, and we see it throughout the Old and New Testament, that our ultimate goal, our ultimate purpose, is to bring glory to God. I was listening to John Piper. And, of course, John's written many books, and he's deep in what he shares. You have to really follow what he's saying. But he wrote a book called Don't Waste Your Life. And he was making the statement, as he was talking about that book, don't waste your cancer. Don't waste your retirement. Don't waste that divorce. Don't waste that illness. Don't waste that anxiety. Whatever it is that you're facing, don't waste it. What is God's purpose in the midst of all of these things that we face when our goal is to get out of it? We want it to go away so things feel better. Instead of saying, God, what is your purpose in the midst of all this? I think a question, and I use the term there, what's your awareness of God's purpose? And I use the word awareness intentionally because how aware are you of his presence? How aware am I of his presence? I don't think we can be aware of his purpose if we're not aware of his presence. Right? And to be aware of his presence is a decision every day. That's a Holy Spirit thing. Right? When Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. My belief is when we become a follower of Christ, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's what I believe. But it's very clear in Scripture that this filling is a daily thing. Every day we've got to be filled with it. Like our lungs. I have air in my lungs, but I got to breathe it in to fill my lungs. And that's what the Scripture's teaching. I believe that we're to be filled every day with the Holy Spirit to be aware of his presence. Then from that, we get to know what the purpose is. Here's a question I think on a practical level. Whatever you're facing today, I don't care what it is, illness, sickness, problems with a person, Lord, what is your purpose in the midst of this? What is the purpose of what's going on here? Is it knowable? I think it is. Certainly we know the ultimate is to bring him glory, so how does that work? How do I bring you glory in the midst of this problem? We're talking very practical stuff here. It's not theoretical. This is when you walk out the door today and you get the call that you didn't anticipate, Lord, what's the purpose in this? Because the world would say to you, there is no purpose in it. That's why the world is the world. That's why the mess we have. When I look at what's going on in the world today, we wring our hands, we turn on TV, and I should shut it off. But I turn it on, I don't know, it's kind of like you get addicted to watching some of this stuff that's going on. You watch it and you realize, how could people be so off track? But if they have no purpose, then it would make sense they would live that way, wouldn't it? We are a peculiar people, according to Scripture, and I think it's true. So we talked about purpose, and I think a second thing is have a passion to follow God's purpose. Now, passion's an interesting thing. Passion, I see, is the fuel to intentional living. It's a fuel. And I wrote this down. I said, it's not that Christians lack passion. It's our passions lack Christ.
Boy, that is true. We're live back here in our Intentional Living studio today as we continue this series that I'm calling Follow the Leader, Understanding What Biblical Leadership Looks Like. Hey, can I take a moment before we continue on with some other good things to help you today to say, first of all, a great big thank you to every man, every woman, every family, every couple who has prayed for us and supported the ministry during 2017, to the thousands that we have met in our conferences over this last year, giving us an opportunity to minister into your life. The stories have been just so encouraging of people's lives that have been impacted through this message, the message of intentional living in Christ. And because of your support, we are able to be here today. Now, I've shared with you about 20% of all of the support financially for the ministry comes in during December. That's a typical time, year end, and no different this year. And now, with only a few hours left in this year, we have a ways to go yet to be able to reach the need for 2017. But we have some friends that are going to help us get past the goal line. Listeners that have stood up and said, hey, we want to match every gift that comes in between now and the end of the year up to $200,000. That's for our overall ministry. And the portion that will be matched will be from your gifts for the Intentional Living Center. So if you give $100, it'll be matched for the ministry of another $100. $200 becomes $400 and so on. Would you join us today? We really need your help to close out this year strong. During West Coast business hours, all you have to do is call this number, 888-888-1717, and press number 4, or anytime online, go to theintentionallife.com and click on donate. And thank you for your support. Coming up in a moment, I want to talk a little bit about one of my leadership heroes from the Bible, and I'll talk to a couple of folks who are standing by on the phone who wanted to describe their idea of what a good leader looks like. So stay with us.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
Thanks, Kurt, and welcome back to Intentional Living. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center. Quality of leadership. What is one quality of leadership? You know, I think of an Old Testament character, one that I have preached on and taught on around the country. It's Nehemiah. Nehemiah, of course, was a Jew. He was held in captivity. The homeland had been in disarray, and the folks had been taken into captivity for 70 years now. You're talking about generational. He never experienced his homeland being intact. And yet he had a heart as a leader, and that's what he was, as a leader to do something for his people. And what's interesting is you read the book of Nehemiah, the very first thing that happened to this guy in the book that's recorded in Nehemiah is that some friends came from Jerusalem through Babylon, where he was, miles and miles away. And what was the very first thing that leadership principle that he showed? The first thing that Nehemiah did was he asked a question. He asked these guys, what's going on back home? And it got me thinking about the power of the right question. You know, leadership comes down to, you know, starting with better questions. And I would think in terms of your family, the questions that you can ask. What's going right in our family? What's not going right in our family? What's one thing, and you know we're big here about one thing, what one thing could we do as a family that would make the biggest difference in our family relationships? Maybe it's about your finances. What is one thing that we're doing now that's not working with our finances? Is it using credit cards instead of being on a cash basis? But starting to ask the right kind of questions. The kinds of questions that you're going to ask will get you thinking. Too often what we do is we race to solutions, we race to answers without ever stopping and asking the question, see? And so the first thing that Nehemiah did was ask better questions. He's got some more things he did too, I'll tell you about in a moment. All right, let's go to Ken, who's listening to us in Tennessee today. Hey, Ken, welcome to Intentional Living.
Well, thank you very much, sir. It's a pleasure to be here.
Appreciate your call. Who is it, and what's the characteristic of a good leader?
Well, to me, it's like I could describe that by the pastor that I have here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, at, if I may say, a Joseph Sound Church. It's a wonderful church. I've come to love this church because in the beginning, when I was doing things against God and doing things contrary to the Word, God still had this person to love me in spite of me.
Yeah.
And it just totally blew my mind because everybody else, you know, was saying, you're doomed for destruction, you're doomed for hell, you're doomed for this, you're doomed for that. But the Lord never did do that through him to me. He received me with mercy, what little bit of minute faith that I had left, because I had lost hope. But that's why I had to rely totally on Christ for my salvation and for my life. Any blessing that I would get would be primarily only because Jesus allowed me to have it, only because he loved me, and only because that he's good, and only because of what he has done for me on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And he humbled himself in such a way as my teacher, my leader in the church, that he would hear the other person. He would listen to their needs, to their cries of their heart, to see what their hunger was, to see what their thirst was. And he always longed for me to have a hunger for Jesus, for his call and his will and his way, and only walk in divine truth as he is.
That's it, man. You hit it on the head. There's the that point that Ken is making. The pastor just loved on him, showed Christ to him, loved on him, listened to him, engaged in his life, got behind his eyes, felt what he was feeling. That's a great way to start. Okay, thank you, Ken. Got to move on. More calls, but thank you for your call from Chattanooga. Okay, let's continue on. We're talking about characteristics of leaders. Kingsley's on from Arizona. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. What's a characteristic that jumps off the page to you?
Truthfulness. A leader must be able to tell the truth at every point in time, no matter whose ox is God. If you don't know the truth, say you don't know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you lie to your followers, you have smeared your integrity, and it's going to bring it to a question. So you want to be truthful as much as you can as a leader, no matter what.
Yeah, and if you've blown it, you just acknowledge it and say, hey, I was off on that. I thought this, and this was accurate. Keeping those short accounts, not trying to hide that kind of thing. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's excellent.
That way your followers are able to hold you accountable to your word.
That's right. Are you a leader yourself? Do you have a leadership role in life?
Yes, sir. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I supervise inmates.
Oh, so you know about the truthfulness. That's a critical part of real freedom in life, is when we choose to be truthful.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's good. Kingsley, I'm glad you're listening. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Very good. Today, we're just touching on leadership. And as I've, if you've heard me teach, when I go out and teach, we talk about, when I talk about leadership, or I talk about families, or I just talk about your own personal leadership, because I don't believe that leadership is an option. This is not just for somebody who's got a title as manager or even the title of leader. If you're alive and breathing and you have anybody who's you're responsible for, like your kids or your friendships or whatever, you have a leadership opportunity. It's not just a title. And Nehemiah is a great example from the Old Testament. He, as I shared with you, he talked about questions because he asked the right question. But after he got the answer, he did a really unusual thing in our culture today. He got the answer. What we hear today, we get some sort of an answer of something that we don't like to hear, some problem that we're hearing. The first reaction sometimes is just to overreact. And I'll tell you what Nehemiah did. And we can all do this, by the way. We can jump in without doing what Nehemiah did. In verse 4,
This guy sat down, the scripture says. He sat down and he wept, he prayed, he mourned, and he fasted for many days. And if you read the text, you see that there's about a 4-month period there that Nehemiah really got centered spiritually and otherwise before he started to lead his people to go and rebuild the walls that had fallen down in Jerusalem. And it's a great story. It's a great leadership book, by the way. And it begins by starting with the point of asking the question and then really stopping when you get the answer and really fleshing that out and looking at it from all sides and really praying about it. And I'll tell you what, in life, we're a lot better off when we do that. We really are. Talking about intentional living today and the power of leadership.
I just want to give a testimony about how Intentional Life Radio has really changed my life. About 3 years ago, I had my first child. I wasn't married. And, you know, my life just felt like it was going down a spiral. And I've been living, you know, ever since then for Jesus Christ. And I've been intentionally living my life every day trying to get better, you know, in every area of my life with Jesus Christ. And I just wanted to give that testimony. And thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You're very welcome. And thank you for choosing to make that decision to live intentional in your walk with Christ and sharing your story with us. We're excited about this brand new year because we move into 2018. We know there'll be goals that are being set, but we want to help you to actually accomplish them by being intentional. So share your stories with us, what God's teaching you, what you have in store and the plans you have with His will and His direction for 2018. You know, we're here because of your support. We're here because God has been blessing the ministry over the years. We have a need to take care of satellite and staff and be fair with the radio station so we can continue to do this ministry. And about 20% of all the support comes in here at the end of the year. We can't do it without your support. And here we are at a point where we're just a few hours away from the end of the year and we still have a need to wrap up this particular campaign in this year. And we have some friends of the ministry that are matching dollar for dollar every gift that comes in right up through the 31st, up to $200,000. And the portion from Intentional Living will go for the overall ministry going to Intentional Living. So thank you for your support today. Just give us a call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. See you tomorrow with more Intentional Living.